Charlie and a few of their friends chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better when you're two beers in.
Hello and welcome to Two Beers In, a tipsy political roundtable. I'm your co-host, Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd. This is a special post-Donald Trump RNC speech edition. We are in South Carolina on vacation, and we're with our friends Alan and Sadia Corey. How are you guys doing?
Still awake after that long.
we all have a bunch of children sleeping right now, and we're all dying to go to bed, but Donald Trump decided to speak for like 45 hours.
Yeah, I think we thought we were going to start this podcast a half hour ago. We just wanted to do a quick recap of what happened tonight.
I want to say, too, that we, instead of our normal chugging two beers, we've just been drinking all night. Mm-hmm. Three of us are more than two beers in. Sadia is about to have a baby any week now. So she is no beers in, but we had enough to make up for her not drinking. We make an exception for pregnant women to not drink on this podcast.
Yeah, so it's been a while since we've had a podcast, and our next live show is until the end of August at UCB Theater. So come to that. Our initial reactions from our panel from the hour and, I don't know, hour and 30 minute speech we just heard from Donald Trump. What do everybody
Jesus
think?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I think he likes being the center of attention, and this was his moment to drag it out as long as possible.
Sadia, as a new American citizen.
Oh my gosh.
When did you become a citizen,
Sadia? As an immigrant. About 2 years ago, right?
Okay.
When America was terrible.
When America was terrible.
Well, it's still terrible. It has to be made great again.
But I've never seen, like, it was terrifying to see such fanatic support for utter nonsense. And, like, it kind of hit me that this could actually happen, you guys.
And you said this is the first convention you've watched, or the first Republican convention you've watched?
The first Republican convention I've watched. And just to see the absolute craziness.
Well, this is the craziest Republican convention I've ever seen.
Oh, my gosh. But the support, I guess you live in a bubble and you think it's never going to happen. And then you see that and the way people are reacting and what they're reacting to. I mean, the things that he's saying. There's no concrete there. There's nothing real.
Right.
And everyone loves it. They're eating it up.
Yeah, I think that's the craziest thing about his speech tonight is that he started off by saying, tonight I'm going to lay out a plan. Right. And then my ears kind of perked up at that. Like, oh, we're going to get some policy proposals. Yeah. Interesting. And then the plan was just a list of we're going to fix this. It's going to be great. We're going to do it. It's going to be great.
Believe me.
I'm interested. I'm sure we're releasing this tomorrow and there'll probably be internet answers to this. But that seemed like the longest speech I've ever sat through in my whole life. Is it that, or was there was just nothing substantive and I was just bored? What do you guys think?
I think I was definitely bored at the end.
I was bored and terrified.
I mean, the solution to everything just seems to be get the greatest intellectual minds to fix our like border problem, or let's get the greatest builders, or let's get the greatest. I mean, that's where we're going wrong, guys. Let's just stop getting crappy people to run our country.
If Obama had known to not do bad trade deals and to just make things better.
But that's what's so amazing is that people eat that up. And that's what Saudi is saying. Like, he doesn't have to say what he's going to do. He just says, I think one of my favorite lines was, you know, we're going to defeat ISIS and we're going to do it quickly. Okay, well, let us know. You're leaving us hanging. Like, how do we do that? Everyone wants to know.
Also,
it's
like,
a very complex problem. If you could tell us, seriously.
Even if he wins, we're about 6 months away from inauguration. Like, you should email Obama the way to defeat ISIS quickly. Yeah. Like, let's get it done now.
Right.
Get this wrapped up for November.
Yeah, and the illegal immigration. Are. That's going to happen quickly.
Yeah.
He's going to do it fast.
Well, also, I love this vacillating back and forth between Mexicans are killing us and, like, ISIS. Like, what is the scariest immigrant? Are they all scary? Like, is the problem these Mexicans coming in and just stabbing people in the face or ISIS immigrants?
It sounded like Mexicans are killing children. also.
Okay, sure. Because ISIS wants to kill gay people.
ISIS just wants to kill.
Which they also support gay people now. That's a everyone was cheering for gay people.
If I was an ISIS sympathizer.
We're two beers in, everyone.
Synthesizer.
And I lived in a country where it was like, hey, you know, this is my beliefs. Why would you want to leave that country to go somewhere who has opposing views? And let's do everything possible to make it as difficult as possible to get in this country. And then, you know, let's blow it up rather than, oh, hey, I'm in my utopia. Why don't I just stay in my own country and believe this stuff? Yeah.
None of it makes sense.
But he speaks to our fear. I mean, the whole convention was about being afraid. The law and order candidate, which is just really code for, I'm getting all the black people in line, everyone. I'm going to get all the black people in line and we're going to make sure they stop rioting. And it's just, there's no policy. There's no concrete information. It's just, I'm going to stop illegal immigrants from murdering your children and taking your jobs. And I'm going to stop black people from shooting you.
Yeah. So he started his speech talking about an individual who, illegal immigrant who killed someone, I think out in California. And the fact check on that is that the way he makes it sound is that it was someone with like an axe, an illegal immigrant with an axe running around killing a poor innocent white girl. It was a drunk driving accident, of which, you know, people, I don't know the statistics, but people are killed by drunk drivers pretty regularly in the country. You have to think that every now and then one is going to be an illegal immigrant. So, you know, just every single thing that he says, if you peel back the details just a little bit, they're bullshit.
Well, there's also statistics that show that illegal immigrants actually statistically are less likely to commit crimes.
Right, because they don't want to be caught.
But I mean, I'm scared. He scared me, so it worked.
Don't Americans kill the most Americans with guns and such, rather than having it be immigrants that are coming in killing Americans? Like, instead of saying that you are so happily endorsed by the NRA, shouldn't you be thinking about your gun situation and managing where the highest deaths to Americans are coming from if you really care about protecting your citizens? Like, there were a couple of things that surprised me with getting the big raucous round of applause for the LGBTQ.
That was, I think that was
the LGBTQ. I love how he said it like he never, literally those words have never come out of his mouth before.
He was reading it up at Teddy Bronte.
Yes, totally. He's like, what are these things? These Q? What's that for? I don't know.
I mean, to be fair, Q is kind of new. Right.
But LGBTQ. Like 5 years new.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a millennial, it's like might be you've never known it to not be cute.
That was crazy to hear him. To be specific about it, he was talking about how he will make sure that LGBTQ people are not killed, by Islamic terrorists. He didn't really get in too much into them being married or having civil rights.
They can't get married or anything, but we don't want them to die. Yeah. You know?
But thanked everyone for responding to that was in a the positive weirdest way. Thing. He made a point of that.
Yeah, that he and I that felt like something I didn't look at his prepared speech, but that felt like something that was off prompter, that he said LGBTQ and then he thanked the crowd for cheering for it. That was fair, almost like he trapped them. I don't know.
He made up for it by the end by saying how the evangelicals thank you for being with
then
me.
He won them back.
He offended those people, evangelicals, and won them back.
So, well, this is what's so amazing about his speech is that he literally panders to every single group, right? Yeah. Like, he finds a way to, he was trying to get Bernie Sanders supporters on board. He's like, one thing, he's like, I love you, evangelical Christians, you're my group. And then he's like, hey, Bernie Sanders socialists, we are on the same page. Yeah. It's like, what are you talking about?
Well, the number one thing that Bernie Sanders supporters care about is trade deals. Number one. I mean, it is true that Trump and Bernie agree that they don't like certain trade deals like TPP, but I mean, that's pretty far down the list of your average Bernie bro.
And the Republican platform doesn't reflect most of those things that he's talking about.
Right. And what Ivanka was talking about too.
Let's talk about Ivanka's speech. Cause it was, that was the one that was the most jaw dropping of, I think, of any speech. The most shocking speech to me was just like, she dedicated, I want to say, 30% of her time to talking about maternity leave and
equal pay. Equal pay, yeah.
That, like, well, I mean, if the whole Quicken Loans arena is cheering for maternity leave and equal pay, we should be able to pass that in Congress, right? Because I feel like both conventions are those would be huge applause lines if Elizabeth Warren gave a speech introducing Hillary Clinton and gave, you know, talked about that stuff. I mean, I don't know.
I seriously thought that she stole Hillary Clinton's DNC speech. They put it on the wrong prompter and she's like, shit, I'm reading Hillary Clinton's acceptance speech.
Well, Ivanka wasn't able to vote for her father because she was not a registered Republican. She didn't change her party allegiance in time, and it's because she's a Democrat. But it still was surprising to me that she gave her speech tonight. She gave a Democratic speech tonight at the Republican National Convention,
and they all cheered
because any rational person who hears that mothers should be able to take maternity leave and women should be paid as much as men,
you can't boo.
Like
that.
How can you not cheer for that?
Yeah.
Yet somehow the people that were in that arena tonight, the people that they elect, vote against it.
Yeah, they also vote against all family planning that allows women to make choices that further their careers and their lives outside of family.
Yeah, and in a similar way, Trump doesn't get to say LGBTQ on stage and they don't get to cheer when Mike Pence gave a speech last night. Mike Pence, who passed the religious freedom law in Indiana, Mike Pence, who is completely...
Yeah, they didn't show his face during that.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been interesting to do a camera cutaway to Mike Pence on that line.
I would have loved to have seen Mike Pence cheering for women's rights when this is the man that passed a law that got turned down by a federal court that all miscarriages and abortions would have to have a funeral. And he's going to be there clapping for paid maternity leave. Like, what?
So you guys were with us last night watching the convention, and we saw Ted Cruz's speech. I just want to talk about that a little bit. I think that was the craziest moment of the RNC to me, when Ted Cruz's speech was in its final moments, was in like the final minute, and everybody started to realize, like the crowd slowly realized, like, wait a minute, he's not going to say Trump's name this entire speech, and let alone endorse him. And at that moment, Trump walked into the arena because he was coming down to watch his boy Eric give a speech. But that cacophony of like boos for Cruz and cheers for Trump's appearance was, I don't know. It was literally like wrestling, where someone is like cutting a nasty heel promo, and then the babyface hero walks into the arena. Like, I don't know.
Wait, is Trump the babyface hero in this situation?
Yes. That's a wrestling.
I mean, it's the only likable thing I've seen Ted Cruz do.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was like, fuck, like, you make me like you now.
Well,
I love too that they're like, today the discussion was, you know, he needs to get over these political, like these personal attacks. You have to put country above the personal attacks Trump did. I was like, Trump accused your father of killing JFK. Like, this isn't just a normal. He called your wife ugly. I mean, this is like not just.
He called him the nasty guy.
Yeah.
I'm not clear on who played who, though. They're both sort of like, I mean, last night I felt like, wow, Cruz really played Trump because he got a slot at the convention and gave his 2020, kickoff speech for his own campaign and didn't endorse Trump. And Trump was a real idiot for allowing him to do that. But then the other side of the coin is that Cruz got booed at the Republican National Convention. So maybe Trump has the last laugh. I don't know.
Yeah, this is my concern. Because yesterday, listening to it, you're like, well, good for Cruz. You know, good for him to do that in front of the entire party. And then today I'm like, oh, shit, he totally unified that entire group.
Right.
And made them a little more raucous and a little higher energy against the cause. And I was like, oh, man.
Although maybe that was a signal to his supporters. And he had a lot of supporters to say, like, don't vote for this fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Bernie showing up next week at the DNC and giving a 20-minute speech and not mentioning Hillary?
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I kind of could, but I don't think he will because he has already endorsed it.
After the RNC went first and we all saw the insanity that happened, I feel like Bernie's going to be like, no, seriously, you have to go out and vote for Hillary. This is insane.
I'm excited for the DNC now to look forward to next week. I think that tonight and the whole week was so negative and so nasty, from Chris Christie chanting, you know, having the crowd chant guilty as if it was the Salem witch trials.
Seriously, high school, no, not even the Salem witch trials, the high school production of The Crucible.
A bad high school production of The Crucible.
He was like the one that looked the oldest, and they put some pancake makeup on him, set him out on stage.
But just, it was so negative and it was so nasty, and I hope that next week is going to be really positive and really galvanizing everybody who does not relate to Trump, which I think is more than 50% of the country.
I hope,
but I'm feeling very defeated and scared.
I think we're definitely in a bubble a bit. I mean, he keeps winning over people. And I think
you guys live in Georgia.
Yeah. And that's, you know. Yeah.
So Atlanta, though.
In a bubble
different.
In Atlanta.
Yeah, we wanted to talk to you guys about that because you live in Decatur, Georgia, which is an Atlanta neighborhood, which is the most liberal county or most liberal city in Georgia. Is that fair?
Yeah, they call it a blue dot on a red map.
Yeah. So when you travel outside of Decatur, I mean, are you seeing Trump signs in people's yards?
Yeah. Billboards in people's windows, Trump signs.
I mean, every Uber driver we've ever had is a minority who's voting for Trump. And then we spend the whole ride talking them out of it and like why this is bad specifically for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
We end up, Uber rate,
they
gets
me
shot.
No one will pick you up anymore.
Yeah.
Well, luckily you have a self-driving car now, so you did get a Tesla.
Yeah. Actually, that's why we had to get it.
Yeah. Can the Tesla drive you home if you're drunk?
It only drives in the highway.
Yeah, probably.
They just got a Tesla. I had to slip that in. Also, I would be scared if I were drunk to operate an extremely expensive vehicle like that.
That'd be scary.
So that's interesting. So do you see Hillary signs in front yards as well?
We do. And Bernie, mostly in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
We have a lot of Black Lives Matter signs in our neighboroods.
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta is a blue dot. In general, right? Yeah. I mean, not just Decatur, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's fair. Yeah.
Isn't that the case in most cities? I mean, most cities are a blue dot in the middle of, we turn the whole state. I mean, New York City is a blue dot in a pretty red state.
Yeah, or purple state, maybe. I mean, Atlanta is also a blue dot in a red region. I'm from Columbia, South Carolina, 5 miles away, or excuse me, 5 hours by car away. And, almost every gay kid I went to high school with moved to Atlanta because you got to go to Atlanta.
I'm sure
that is changing now, because
the RNC apparently supports gay rights and paid maternity leave. Jeez. Does anybody have any other thoughts? Sadia, what do you think was the craziest thing that you saw in the last couple days?
I think for me, just the reality of seeing, you know, I think we've talked about us living in a bubble and just the reality of seeing how fanatically people are behind him.
Yeah.
And this whole time, I guess I've just been like, there's no way. Like, look at that crazy thing he said and how sexist he is and how racist he is. There's no way. And now I'm like, oh, for real, this could happen. Mm-hmm.
You can say shit on this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah, the kids are asleep. We can say shit whenever we want.
You have to keep in mind that the people who are delegates and showing up at the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland are pretty hardcore Republican Party. I don't know if they're reflective of the entire Republican Party and certainly not the country. But it is... We definitely live in a bubble. I mean, the last four nights watching the convention, we've been on Twitter the whole night. And, you know, you're just constantly seeing tweets from people who agree with you or making the same jokes that you're making. And that it is scary to know that there are people in other parts of the country that are also on Twitter
and retweeting
the opposite.
I'm inspired now to do more research into swing states. Like, what can we really do? Like, maybe we should be tweeting more publicly. Maybe I shouldn't be just posting to my Facebook population. And maybe I should be posting a little more publicly.
Is there something more? I got in a Facebook fight with a high school acquaintance. And a lot of people in Ohio are very divided. I'm from Ohio, and most of those people I have not blocked, but they've blocked me. Like when you talk about being in your bubble, I don't block anyone, but I'm pretty sure 50% of my high school friends have blocked me, which is fine. But I have been getting into a spirited debate with at least one person from high school who I think blocked me, but he commented on another friend's wall and I was like, all right, fair game. So I'm going to comment on that. But the thing that I find difficult about Facebook conversations and Twitter conversations, everybody is so into the hyperbolic language that you can post an article and say, this is where I cite this specific fact. And there's always a rebuttal for it. The internet exists where you can just look up, like, give me facts on why Donald Trump will, you know, his policies will be net negative, you know, financially or whatever. And something can pop up saying, even though that's not true, or the majority of the people say that his wall is going to cost trillions of dollars, or his immigration policy anyway.
Well, I think majority of Americans don't vote based on facts. They vote based on gut. And it's like, oh, I heard Trump's soundbite. I believe that. And if it's false, I don't care. I like the sentiment behind it.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's interesting to me that he's really making this play for a demographic that he's kind of disconnected to. When he talks about, you know, he mentioned at the end, his dad connecting with contractors and electricians, and it's like blue collar type people. So he's trying to connect on so many different levels with every single demographic. And I think those people hear that. It's probably the first time that they've been.
Well, you should talk to those contractors, because I always hear about how he's always late on payments or he doesn't pay.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, one thing I want to bring up that I think is, for me, this is the single most important bit of information or interview about Trump. The ghostwriter or co-writer, but the person who actually wrote The Art of the Deal, came forward this week in an article in The New Yorker. I actually know his daughter, but came forth with this article in The New Yorker that just talks about Trump as the person. And it is such a damning bit of information as someone who spent 18 months following him, who basically created this persona of the deal maker of the, you know, he wrote The Art of the Deal for him. He created the Donald Trump persona that we know. Yeah. And he wrote this, you know, really in-depth
expose
of him as a person, as somebody who has no attention span, he's a sociopath, isn't interested in anybody other than himself, is ignorant, and this is somebody that wrote his book,
knows him,
who knows him and has no skin in the game. It's not his relative, it's not his whatever.
I wish this article would have come out like a month ago, because I feel like it's being a little lost in the you know, Melania Trump plagiarism scandal, or whatever the scandal,
Antonio Sabato Jr.,
Scott Baio's interaction with Tamron Hall.
That's what always what I found most surprising is that his speakers were his family or these C-level celebrities. Like, if he's such a great...
that's being generous, Alan.
If he's such a great businessman, why doesn't he have great business leaders, like, you know, getting his back?
Yeah, it was weird, creepy casino guys.
It's like, you are my son, and if you want to inherit my millions, you better go on the stage and speak.
I could go up and say great things about my dad. It doesn't mean he's qualified to run the free world.
And a lot of people who gave speeches were either his descendants, his children, or his employees. There were a lot of Trump organ, like, you know,
all financially motivated.
A lot of
they might like him. I mean, it's understandable to. I don't discount the fact that his children and employees he's been loyal to specifically like him, but that doesn't mean that he's a nice person to everybody.
Yeah, I don't think Hillary's going to have... I mean, I guess Chelsea will speak. I guess she doesn't have as many kids, but...
she's too.
I don't even know if Chelsea is going to speak, but I don't think, you know...
But if it's not like Chelsea... Like, he was riding on Ivanka getting the woman vote for him. I mean, can you imagine if Chelsea's like, it all hangs... if Hillary Clinton was like, it all hangs on what Chelsea says. Like, it's anecdotal and cute that she would go up and nice to say something about your mom, but it shouldn't, like... the election shouldn't hang on what your children have to say about it. Yeah, because my son loves me, and I am wholly unqualified to be president.
Yeah. I want to get back to the Ivanka thing. Like, what do you think the conversation was behind the scenes of, like, oh, we got to win the women vote, so Ivanka, go talk about women's issues. Like, even though they're antithetical to the, you know, Republican orthodoxy for the last, I don't know, a million years, I don't know. It's so crazy to me that she spoke about that stuff.
Ivanka that did it, because there's no way that Donald Trump could ever make up for all the things he's already said and done against women. Like, it has to come from someone else.
Charlie made a good point that, like, maybe it's a Trojan horse. She's like, hey, guys, vote for him. I'm really going to be the one running the country, and this is what I plan on doing.
I am a
Democrat, like, hiding in here. Like, I'm going to do this, I promise.
She, of all of them, I mean, the guys go and kill cheetahs and elephants and
Donald
Africa
Trump Jr.
seem like shitheads.
Is a conservative douchebag.
But she does seem like a Democrat. She does.
Her husband
seem like,
used to donate to the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm.
She converted. She's Jewish, and she's having to go introduce the man who put a Jewish star and a pile of money behind Hillary's face 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So I almost feel like she's like, all right, I gotta introduce my dad, so why don't I just go say a bunch of shit the Republicans don't believe in and make them cheer for it. Like, if she did that, more power to her. If she's so stupid and ignorant that she... I don't think she is. I think I liked her speech, and I think it was smart.
Well, I think you're giving, like, credence that whatever she says matter. Like, whatever Trump says to anyone, I don't believe he's actually going to follow through.
Right.
He can't follow through on all the things he's promised, because it's all contradictory.
So whatever she's saying, Trump's going
to
be like, I never said that. My daughter said that. She's not president.
Right.
You know, I don't believe that that's even in his platform or his message.
But he has no platform or message. And that's the point. They're like, we need the women. She's like, okay, great. I'm going to talk about what women want, which has nothing to do with the platform that the RNC has put forward. But I'm going to say it anyway.
I mean, platforms are a weird thing, because it is like the most extreme members of the party that show up to those things and vote on those things. And there's a lot of things in the Democratic platform that I agree with, but that Hillary probably doesn't. And the Democratic platform for the convention next week, the death penalty should be outlawed. I think marijuana should be completely decriminalized. I mean, these are things that I support and that the hardcore left wing supports, but I don't think Hillary's there yet. So I guess you can't hold Trump and Pence accountable for everything that's in that platform.
Pence. God.
He was so boring last night. He's I don't know. What a boring choice to pick a white-haired white man from Indiana.
I think they were going for balance.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely speaks like a politician, so he
seems more presidential.
Counterbalance.
And he can get the base.
He can really get the base to come out.
We've all talked about this over the last couple of days, but I want to bring it up on the show, which is that there was a story this week that leaked out that Donald Trump Jr. had called one of John Kasich's advisors and trying to get him to be interested in being vice president, and made John Kasich the offer of, if he's vice president, he will be the most powerful vice president ever. And the advisor said, well, what do you mean by that? That he will be in charge of both domestic and foreign affairs, which is, that's everything.
All the affairs.
That's everything. Like,
just call
he's
going to
be in charge of both issues that start with A through M and also N through Z.
Yeah.
And then the advisor asked back, like, okay, well, what is Trump going to do? And Donald Jr.'s response was, he's going to make America great again. I mean, that is the scariest thing.
Yeah.
I think that I've, because honestly, like, Mike Pence wouldn't be worse than Trump. But Mike Pence is really fucking scary. He wouldn't be, though, because Trump is crazy.
Yes, but so is Mike Pence. He wants to have funerals for miscarriages.
I know. But that stuff won't pass. There would be...
The other thing is I feel like Pence or these other politicians, the reason they're not as scary is because they can be reined in by someone.
Yeah. Well, like,
and Donald Trump is a petulant child that can't.
For example, Pence passed the religious freedom people who bake cakes don't have to bake gay cakes bill in Indiana.
I mean, I think gay cakes are better.
and then all of these corporations were going to pull their headquarters from Indiana, and they were going to lose billions of dollars in revenue, and he backtracked and softened it. So he's somebody that I think can be, as far right as he is, I think he he can see sense. Reason yeah. when it's in his self-interest or when it's in monetary interest. But Trump is literally a crazy person who might start World War
III. So I get it. Spin it around. So imagine that a reality TV star was Democratic and inherited a father's money.
Right.
And let's pick Paris Hilton because that happened to her. Reality star inherited a bunch of money. Uh-huh. Imagine she was the Democratic nominee.
This is a good analogy. I've heard Kanye West use a lot of this analogy, but Paris Hilton's interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Good. If you could interchange
Nicole Kardashian. Ritchie. I really love her House of Harlow line.
But so if say she was running and we all are like, that's crazy that the Democrats picked her, but on the other ticket, you have Ted Cruz and Newt Gingrich. Like, wouldn't you say, I don't believe anything in Paris Hilton, but I'd rather her, I guess, than Cruz and Newt Gingrich?
Yeah, but it's not Newt Gingrich. We have, I think, the equivalent of a Mitt Romney.
Yeah. But would you vote Mitt Romney in this situation?
No, but I would write in somebody.
Okay.
As a Democrat, I might be like, I'm going to write in.
Yeah,
Obama again or something.
That's hard. I think I would rather vote for Mitt Romney than Paris Hilton. Is Paris Hilton saying everything I want to hear?
But her running mate is Hillary Clinton.
Running mate is Bernie Sanders.
And you know that Bernie Sanders is going to be the puppet or the man behind the puppet.
Yeah, except I think the difference here is that someone like that, you're like, they're an empty vessel, right? And in a way, Bush was like that, right? Like, people were like, I like what he has to say, but we all knew Dick Cheney was really in charge.
Yeah.
But Donald Trump, nobody is in charge of Donald Trump. Like, that's the difference. He's not an empty vessel.
Yeah.
He is.
But at the same time, I think he's not going to be making decisions.
He might
he's
gonna be
like, I'm going golfing today. Don't bother me.
He wouldn't say Mike Pence. Yeah. He'd be like Donald Jr. in a bunker.
Yeah, Mike Pence actually won't have power. Trump
Barron, his 10-year-old will be making decisions.
This is all a ploy to get his kids.
Trump will be too lazy to actually be president of the United States of America, but he will. There will be a family member or some crony who he's worked with from the Trump organization.
So you guys would both vote Mitt Romney over Paris Hilton?
I would vote for Mitt Romney. Now, if it was Ted Cruz against Paris.
Yeah, I'm voting for Paris and Bernie Sanders.
I think all these people who say they're not voting for Trump that are Republican, I'm a Republican, I'm not voting for Trump, they're going to vote for Trump. And that's what scares me.
Oh, you think the people that are hashtag never Trump on the Republican side, when they get in that ballot box, they can't vote for Hillary?
Yeah,
vote for
exactly.
Trump. No, I think they'll write someone. They'll write in Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan will actually be the runner-up.
I don't think so.
It's going to be a Ronald Reagan president.
I think they hate Hillary so much.
They do. Yeah. They were so mean.
You guys know that Hillary killed all of those girls in Nigeria, right? Did you hear Chris Christie's speech? Michelle Obama wanted to bring back our girls, and Hillary flew to Nigeria and shot them. So I am reconsidering my vote after hearing that from Chris Christie. Guilty.
It is terrifying that we've had people, you know, we've been in South Carolina for a while, so we've had people be like, I heard she killed someone, and we have to be like, are you serious? Like, are you joking?
And I like how
this is a rumor that they spread, and it's actually penetrating the psyche of people. They're like, wait, I heard she killed someone. Yeah. Is that true?
And I like how the FBI was like, there's no charges on Hillary for the server.
And no one would reasonably ever bring up charges.
Yeah, but that has been their message. That was probably 30 minutes of his hour and a half was repeating that she's a crook. And it's like, wait, did you guys not see the report where there's no charges? Like, they don't care about truth. They don't care about facts.
Well, because it's not the greatest intelligent in the FBI
That's right.
We need the greatest intelligence.
I can't wait to get that list of the greatest people that are going to be running on these bureaucracies.
Yeah,
Obama's FBI.
It seems like Trump doesn't realize that James Comey's in charge of the FBI for like another 5 years. So.
Yeah. We did have the last show. We talked about the charges being dropped, but I think the Republicans have made a huge mistake there in that James Comey gave them so much ammunition to go against her, but instead they attacked James Comey. Like, James Comey was like, it's not technically illegal, but it's terrible what she did.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're instead saying, well, he's corrupt and didn't bring charges. It's like, no, he said...
He's trying to help you.
Yeah. You can't prosecute her, but it's terrible. So yeah.
Run with that.
That's really bad.
Yeah.
I think the craziest line tonight was Donald Trump saying, I alone can fix it.
Which he truly believes.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, yeah, I have the answers.
If you need to, if you doubt that he's a sociopath, if you doubt that he's a megalomaniac, he believes that there are catastrophic problems in our country and that he is the only one. That's a disqualifying statement.
Yeah.
To truly believe that you are the only person that can fix this country. Obama didn't believe that. I mean, no. Hillary doesn't believe that.
They all believe in advisors.
Is when you think, like, I can't imagine him in the Situation Room, like, having to deal with something.
Yeah. Everyone needs to read the New Yorker article about the ghostwriter.
Tony Schwartz.
Yes. Tony Schwartz. Yes. You have to read about it. It's so terrifying. And I think we're really in this weird place now where, you know, nobody trusts any part of the government or any part of the media. So somebody like Trump can win.
Yeah.
And I think he has a very good shot of winning, because if you don't trust facts or you don't trust the outlets that are telling you things, then you can say anything and you're right.
Well, that's
all the time.
Fox News.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole nother topic with Roger Ailes getting fired.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I wonder if Fox News is going to change at all. We'll see. We'll see what Rupert Murdoch's kids want to do. I think we want to wrap up.
Yep.
We're going to do another show immediately following Hillary's speech next week.
Hopefully it will be earlier. I mean, Jesus, guys, we have kids. Wrap these things up. Wrap these speeches up.
We want to thank Alan and Sadia Corey, our good friends from New York City, who've lived down in Decatur for a little while.
We're
with us on vacation this week. Yeah. And who we told them when they arrived to vacation that we would force them into doing a podcast. So we appreciate that. Subscribe to the show. One thing that I want to say is please, if you listen to our show and you like our show, please rate it on iTunes.
Rate it. Give it a good rating.
Leave a comment.
A positive comment, hopefully.
Leave a positive or neutral comment.
Your suggestions.
But no, I think that helps all podcasts. So do that for us. And we'll have a live show at the end of August and hopefully another podcast in a week's time. Please vote in midterm elections.
Please, yes.
And thanks a lot, everybody. Have a good night.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.